All right, you can hear me well? Okay. Thank you, thank you. All right. One more text. I start off. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. Sets. Hope everybody can hear me loud and clear. All right, we're set to go. All right, and welcome this morning to the webinar, and what we are teaching on a very important subject, and it will be very practical and very, very helpful. To be practical and very helpful to every single person. And what we're speaking about is forgetting, all right, forget your past, but learn how to secure your future. All right, please, let's just stop the comments. All right, the seminar has started, okay? Except there's anything important that you have to, all right. So forget about the past and learn to secure the future. Forget about the past, but learn to secure your future. And what we are therefore looking at is certain things may have happened in the past. You have no control over those things at this particular point in time. But there is a system in the kingdom of God whereby he has given us the authority, the liberty, the license to go out. As he has said in his word, I have said before you this day, we'll look at it in detail, life and death. It is your choice. Choose life. So he places it right before us and says, choose life. You can have this life and have it in abundant measure. For Jesus Christ came and he said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it in abundant measure. We do understand that he had said earlier on that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it tells us in scripture that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted of death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that Satan. And what is the assignment of Satan? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he came that he might render inoperative in your own life Satan, who had the power of death. In other words, stealing, killing, and destroying, he puts it to an end and opens us up to a journey into life and life more abundantly. Now, it's a principle about teaching. And the principle is that you teach less in order to have more impact. In other words, so that people don't, you know, have what you call this an information overload. So this morning, I will not go through every single thing that I could possibly go through on this subject, but I want to give actionable intelligence concerning this particular subject. And then after that, there will be a clear call to action after that. But what I want to do is to give actionable intelligence this morning. So I'm going to give precise information that can be used. And then probably next week, I will conclude on this particular subject. So let's start from Matthew chapter 13. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you for this tool that you have provided in your own wisdom and by your intelligence, through which we can communicate effectively your word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you grant utterance unto me by the supply of the Spirit, that your word goes forth unhindered by any demonic interference, and it goes forth accurately and with power, causing the light of Jesus to shine upon our path. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 13 here, I want to start here, and I start from verse 31. And I want us to note this. We'll keep coming back to this particular scripture, Matthew 13 and verse 31. He says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Remember that. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. So the man had a field. Let's assume your field is your business. Your field is your career. Your field is your family. So you have a field that you already have been laboring, working in, engaging in without the kingdom of God. Let me repeat that again. The kingdom of God is as if a man is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took. So there's a deliberate action. So everything that has been going on in my field prior to this particular time was void of the seed of the kingdom of God. So I was interacting in that field without the seed of the kingdom. So in that particular field, so it could be any area, could be your health, could be your mind, could be your business. You now take the seed of the kingdom and sowed it in his field. So if we ask you, what field are you in? So we're saying, want to teach how you take the seed of the kingdom and sow it in that field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. So at the time you brought in the seed of the kingdom there, it was the least. So there were other seeds. There are other things that were operational in that field that were in the kingdom of God. Seeds that may have been sown by other people, seeds that you may have sown. But when it is grown, that when is a function of time. In other words, I plant the seed of the kingdom and I know there is a time factor here. Now, please, I want us, because we want to get down to the real anatomy of faith so we understand it. So you can understand why some people may not get results, or why you may not get results in some area, why the results is coming this way, why this happened, because you have a field. So they took the seed there, all right, which when it is sown is the least of all seeds. So there were other seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So here's a deliberate act where a man planted the seed of the kingdom, and that seed, after some time, not immediately, after some time it grew and it became the most dominant force in that entire field. Now, you could have other herbs there, here and there, but now there's a dominant force that is there. And then it says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took. So Jesus was being gender sensitive, man, woman. So jokingly now, joking, oh, all right, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole, till is a function of time. It's not the day you put in the leaven that the thing blows up, but then it is hidden, which means you come to that particular meal, as she says here, and you don't see the effect of it, even though it's there. But then after some time, the thing begins to rise. After some time, it says the whole thing becomes leavened. So if you say your whole career now becomes leavened. Your whole family, because you hid something in it that wasn't visible to people. But after some time, the effect and the influence of that thing started being seen, all right, and it could now be felt. So Jesus says here, it's like a grain of mustard seed. There's the time factor here. All right? It is not visible, but it influences the entire thing eventually and permanently. Appears insignificant, but becomes the most dominant force after some time. So it tells us this is how the kingdom of God is. So if you look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. Mark 4 and verse 26. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. It is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So it says, this is how the kingdom of God operates. It's not as if God should do something. It's as if man, he wants to change the outcomes of what is going on in his field. He doesn't just ask God, as the woman who is baking, doesn't just ask. She understands that if I put a little leaven or yeast, as I call it, here, into this, it's going to flow and going to swell up. So the kingdom of God is as if a man, understanding that, took seed and cast it into. He cast that seed into the field where he was operating. And then after some time, so what Jesus is saying is, this is far more, all right, far more than, this is far more than a church idea. This is the whole spectrum of truth. That is, it's far more than a church idea. It's the whole spectrum of truth as to how God rules on this earth. The kingdom of God is telling us how God rules on this earth. So when God wants to reign in that your field, I want to say this here, and rule and have dominion, he initiates something in you that could you help me and cast this particular seed into that particular place. We'll see this. This is how God has made the life to function. So the kingdom of God means this is how God rules. This is how God has made life to function. This is how we can align with his intended order and find the joy of seeing our lives work the way he supposed, or it was supposed to work, the way he intended it to work. So here is the kingdom of God. This is how a person aligns himself with God's intended order and finds joy of seeing our lives work in the way, which means we won't find that joy. It will just not work the way we felt it should work. So Jesus is about to set something straight here. What he's doing is, all right, something that is fundamental, something that is functional and effective to successful living on the earth. So I want to start having this mind shift. All right? That we start having this mind shift there and start moving away from the place where we understand that it's like a woman who's baking. Here is your life, your career. Now you want to place something in it. Okay, so it defeats, and what we've got to understand is we are prone to function with God with a traditional mindset. And this is the first thing I want to correct. Because if there is anything growing up as a Christian I didn't like, and that is still what irritates me the most, is that people practice things that they consider to be what God has said, or this is Christian truth, they don't get any results and they have no explanations. And so they start casting aspersions there. So the traditional mindset, which we are prone to function under, is to have this fire brigade approach, all right, to faith. And the fire brigade approach to faith is, we run into trouble. We don't understand what is in our field. We run into that trouble probably because there are seeds that are growing in our own field without our knowledge that have brought forth their own fruit. And then we want to operate in the kingdom of God by asking God that please, You know, remove these fruits. That's what we really are praying. And so we're struggling. And we think that, you know, it's just this, God is there. If I run into any trouble, which could be as a result of the seeds that are growing that I just didn't know anything about, or the fact that my field is empty, then I go to God without understanding that the system of God is, you can change your life permanently. This is even beyond your needs. This is how you can create an abundance of God's life on the earth. As Jesus said, you have it more abundantly. In other words, the farmer, the harvest that comes from his seeds is beyond feeding him. And that's what God will say. I will show it here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 31. That's the idea that Jesus was saying here in verse 31. And he said, look, get out of this concept. He said this in verse 31 here. It went here. He says, for all these things, verse 30, do the nations of the world seek after what you will eat, what you will drink, all right, what you will wear, all right? He says, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, which means operate by God's kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he says. So the field is where you're going to get, let's say the field of your career, the field of your business is where you're going to get material things that will secure what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. It says, so seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you. To understand this principle that what I'm supposed to actually do is to take the seeds of the kingdom and plant them into the fields where I'm operating in. And after some time, all I need is time. And what I want to guarantee from this webinar is all you need is just some time. All right? That 6 months from today, if we do this and practice this, nobody will be able to recognize us. They will come to that same field where we have been toiling and completely everything will have changed. Let me tell you exactly how it is. People will go, this is what we say here, I mean, in the African mindset, a business, let me say this here, a business is failing, then suddenly that business after 6 months is thriving and goes global. Somebody says, well, it's because, you know, they dug the ground and planted, you know, I saw them at night planting a cow inside the ground. And so there's something inside people that they know subconsciously, spiritually, that if you put something in the ground, you can change the outcomes of things. There's something. Why do people believe it? That they put something in the ground and all of that. It's there's something in the spirits of people that they recognize. So what you're saying is you didn't put any cow. You took the seeds of God's kingdom, but dug the ground and placed all those seeds there, not visible to anybody. They came in the next day. It appeared the same, but now you have started working another system. And then you went on and said, come back. Just like the farmer would say, come back. It's only a matter of time. All I have to do is, yes, my condition is not going to change immediately. The farmer doesn't expect. Now, but we're going to see in scripture that once you get that first cycle right, then you can get to a place where you keep planting forever, every single day, so that I will see it in scripture, harvest and seed time overlap, permanent harvest, permanent seed time. So you are perpetually in a place where there is a miraculous flow and supply. All we need is just about 6 months from today to remove the fire brigade approach to life. To understand what Jesus said. And this is what Satan is doing to get us away from the kingdom of God. He's throwing fires all there. So we're developing prayer points about things which actually are things growing in our garden. So the idea of taking us back to the Garden of Eden is taking your life to where all the seeds that are growing in your life are seeds of the kingdom of God, full stop, you're back in Eden. That's what it means, a garden. A garden means all the crops. And it's this short-term mindset here that something must happen tomorrow. The thing must happen tomorrow. All right. Now, a time comes, you plant these seeds where you call on God even before, because there are seeds in the kingdom that tell that as you are calling, he says, I am here. Instant results.
But if those seeds are not in your garden, you can't expect that to happen. All right? So I'm making a legal kingdom case here that this is the way this thing works. That's why Jesus, talking about this kingdom, he said, people with this short-term mentality, immediately he says, it's planned for, and then when trials and tribulation, why is this thing not working? So the kingdom is a principle of abundance over and beyond that which you will ever need. What you call an over, which means the harvest is just there in abundance. A man, what's his name now, Novell Hayes, used to teach faith alongside Kenneth Hagin back then in Campeche. He said, I have used my faith to a point where now it has nothing to do with my own needs. I have been financially secure a very long time ago. He said, I use my faith to build churches for pastors. That's, I put my faith out so I have enough finances to build churches from scratch, which means, listen, you can't be in this thing of going to God, my need, and nothing will be happening. Or get to this place of even over, that the harvest is in abundance. Because you understand that actually the fields are open. And God says, the seeds are there, go out and plant the seeds. And the harvest doesn't come according to the need of the farmer. It comes according to the seeds the farmer has sown. Let me repeat that. It doesn't come according to the needs of the farmer. It comes according to the seeds the farmer has sown. So the farmer cannot eat all of what grows in his field. All right? So we can determine outcomes this way. That's why I said, I've said before, you death and life. We can determine outcomes. Now, it's going to take diligence. But we can determine outcomes. All right? He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. In other words, God says, look, the ball is in your court. All right? You can have so much. And you can have very little. You determine it. So the kingdom of God is as if a man shall cast seed into the ground. Mark chapter 4, we'll look at that again, and verse 26. We'll build a lot around this portion of scripture here. Mark 24 and verse 26. So is the kingdom of God as if a man shall cast seed into the ground. All right? But Jesus was teaching on these, and he had said in verse 11 when he started teaching these, hear what he said. And he said unto them, because when he first taught the first phase, he came to verse 9 and he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. I said, what was this parable of planting the seed of the kingdom? He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. That he says, what I'm telling you is the mystery of God's kingdom. Unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. You know what he's saying here? Once you understand the mystery of that kingdom and you plant those things into the field of your life, when other people come after some time, suddenly your life just takes this remarkable turn. All right? And what happens is, right, everything is done in parables. How did this happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? Because it tells us in Mark 4:26, how do we know that this thing will produce things that will not be able to, people will not be able to explain? He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man will cast it into ground, should sleep and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. In other words, people are going to come and will not know how. It is called the mystery of the kingdom, and that thing means you have dug the field. You understood that my fields were empty. Now it's time I've started, and you gave yourself 3 months of planting seeds into and bringing back the Garden of Eden. And then after some time, when the harvest came, things just started happening. So your field is where you are playing, and buried underneath it, where you are, must be seeds of God's kingdom. All right? Also, somebody says, well, you know, the job he gave me, forget about how you started. Bury the seeds of God's kingdom underneath where you are walking. You say, well, I'm just walking in this particular place. Bury the seeds of God's kingdom underneath where you're walking. And when those seeds begin to spring out, somebody will walk through that door. Somebody in authority will walk through that door in response to that. And will say, why do you think the scripture says 1,000 will fall on your left, 10,000 on your right? It's not by God's choice. It's not that God said, listen, 1,000 must fall, 10,000. No, it's because you already had known that certain things could happen on this earth. You buried all those seeds there. Those other folks did not have those seeds. They didn't have the tree there in their own garden. So when it happened, you were standing. That's the mystery behind it. So in 8:11, with time, everything you are doing, the supernatural penetrates everything. Everything you are doing begins to work like parables. What is the seed that you plant into the soil and the field you are in? What is the yeast or the leaven you're in a sat in? Luke 8 and verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's what it says. The parable of the mystery is this. The seeds I have planted into my field is what is called the word of God. So here's a webinar. Let's go back. Now, if you don't know the seeds you've planted into your field, then you are not in control of that field totally. All right? Other people may have planted things. Your parents may have planted things. Your teachers in school may have planted things. Your pastor may have planted things. So the seed is the word of God. So you have to consciously and intentionally, all right, plant those seeds. And we're going to look at it in very specific terms. Every Christian must know, before, if Jesus tarries, you must know from God's word around the time in which you will leave this earth and under the circumstances in which you will leave this earth. And it will not be by sickness nor disease. That has to be planted into this earth. And once something is in this earth, the earth by itself will bring it out. It has no choice. The earth doesn't discriminate. The earth doesn't choose for you. It's what you put there that comes out. Nothing is there, it gives nothing. All right, so the seed there is the word of God. Now, how do we plant this seed? We're going to get into this, okay? How do we plant this seed? Romans chapter 10. It's the word of God. And verse 8. Or from verse 6. But the righteousness that is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not, who shall ascend into heaven, that's to bring Christ down. That is, if you start saying, oh, wait, from heaven is going to come, he says, my friend, you are, this was pre-Christ era. All right? Christ has already come. Or who shall descend into the deep? That's, let Jesus come back when he was around. He said, that era is gone. This is the era. What saith it? The righteousness that is of faith. Look at what is saying here. This is what Paul said from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul the apostle was praying. Now, please, someone says, if I can get a great man of God just to pray for me, then everything will be resolved. No, sir. I'm going to show you this. Or if I can just get one powerful man. Except it is the prayer of agreement in your life, which means you as an individual, there are certain things that you already are doing. So when the great man of God comes with his own faith, there is the power of agreement that releases something. But you can't violate this principle and ask somebody to pray you out of it. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is what will explain to you why the same man of God can lay hands on 20 people. Only one exploded according to what was said on that day. The others remained normal. Because what was said that day by the man of God when he laid hands is consistent with what that person has been saying in their own closets. That's the key. So he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that it might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, so they were zealous. But he says they were ignorant of this one thing, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about, they are running about to establish, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness that is of God. We are praying, we can't see the salvation because they have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. And then it tells us what that righteousness is. But the righteousness which is of faith, in verse 8, what saith it? The word, that's the seed, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. This is the word of faith that we are preaching. That is, prayer will work heavily in the life of a person who is sowing seeds. And how do you sow God's word into your life? All right, by declarations. So you ask yourself, what have been your declarations into this earth concerning with all certainty? You know, people can easily say negative things, but once it comes to positive things, same powerful things will say, are you sure? 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 Now, let me give an example. If somebody comes, and this can happen to me because I'm ready. If I say, I'm going to die by the age of 30, I'm going to die by the age of 30, we'll say, stop saying that, stop saying that, stop saying that, stop saying that. So it doesn't happen. Okay? But if I say, I'm not going to leave this earth until I'm 110 years, they'll tell you that, who authorized to say that? Are you God? Do you get what I'm saying? You see what we're saying? When you're specific on words of death, everybody leaves you. It's going to happen. Don't say that. When you get specific on words of life, they tell you that, are we sure? Do you have the power to do that? Yet he has set before you death and life. And he says, choose life. And he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Choose it. So, the seed is this. Now, Genesis 8:22 tells us, as long as this earth remains, as long as this earth remains, Genesis 8:22 tells us, as long as this earth remains, while this earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. It's the principle on this earth. So long as this earth is, seed time and harvest. Now, look at what he said there. He didn't say seed time and harvest time. He said seed time and the harvest. In other words, there's nothing like harvest time if you don't sow seeds. There's nothing. A farmer cannot say it's harvest time when he has not sown seeds. So the only people that get the harvest are the people that sowed seeds. Now, we're going to see that you harvest through prayer, but you sow with your words. So many people are trying to pray into existence things that they, it's a simple principle. So the harvest will always come as a result of you obeying seed time. So harvest cannot occur without seeds. So what you should do, all right, is the seed time, the harvest, the earth by itself will bring it forth. Now, so he's bringing us now into a place. This is what he wants us to understand in Amos chapter 9. All right. That's why you find out some people's lives. All right. You say, doesn't anything ever go wrong? Let me tell you what is happening. It's not that things don't go wrong. But you hear what Jesus said? He said, the tree there, the kingdom seed, is the greatest among, which means those things are happening as small herbs. But the dominant thing is the kingdom seed dominated. So they're having those issues as little, but it doesn't show. It looks like, how come you have been living this your life for 25 years? No problem. They have encountered things, but the dominant things going on in their life, the principal things going on, are those major kingdom things. So Amos here, chapter 9 here, talking about seed and verse 13. Amos 9 and verse 13. Behold, the days come, and we're saying that you can get to a place where your entire life is just one continuous flow of harvest. And that's where I'm trying to, this webinar is an action. It's not just for us to talk. It's action prone. So it says this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Do you see what he's saying? In other words, the plowman, he that is sowing, has overtaken the harvest. And the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. So you go into the field, as they are reaping here, they are sowing there. They are reaping, they are sowing. And they are sowing and reaping, everything has overlapped. It was only at the beginning, for the first two cycles. After some time, everything just merged. So it's the explanation why some people are just growing in leaps and in leaps and in bounds. So if you're a minister, some ministry are just growing in leaps and bounds. Yes, do they have problems? Yes. But those problems, what will have caused another ministry to shake? There are weeds in where, because principal things are going on. Nobody pays attention. Are people angry leaving those ministries? Yes. But because there's no real major seeds growing in your own, when somebody says they're leaving, it's a major issue. Because it's, do you see what I'm saying? But then they have massive things going on that nobody even noticed that. So this opens up possibilities. This is what we're showing here. For a permanent flow of the operations of the Spirit in our lives after some time for the rest of our lives. You don't have to be afraid of old age. Because if you look at the seeds of the kingdom of God, life gets better the older you get. Go and look at the seeds. All right? Life gets better. I mean, Kenneth Copeland said something one day, one of his meetings, that it hit me hard. He said, I'm going to be on this earth till I'm 120 years. And he said, when people ask, why do you have to stay this long on the earth? Say, God told me something. Jesus showed me something. He said, once my anointing inside, you all know that wine gets better in God with time, even naturally, when God with time. So he says, once the anointing on the inside matures in my vessel to the point where I can now do greater things by the wisdom they have accumulated, their bodies can no longer carry that anointing. Their bodies get very weak and frail. They can't move around again. They can't preach around. And so I have never had anybody on this earth that I could allow my anointing to develop in that person for 90 years. He said, I'm looking for a vessel that will have a 90-year deposit of maturity. It will bring something into this earth that has never happened before. That seeds in the book of Psalms that says, you will be fruitful to your old age. Go and look at it. To show that the Lord is upright and there's no one. Just hear what God is saying. So all it takes is time to catch up with the fourth cycle of harvest. Then consistency every day. to keep the harvest coming. So it calls for consistency. It calls for you understanding the principle of time. Then it calls for the consistent practice. And you are not believing God under pressure. So it's not that ailment has come into your knees, it's arthritis there because you're old, you know, you're there. And then it's in that point you are now trying to start believing. All right? But there's no pressure, but you are faithful and consistent. Look, I do understand this. And we've even talked about this in ministry, as style of ministry. And this is why sometimes even we, the ministers, by our mindset, have cut short the operations of God's kingdom in people's life. I mean, I've been at a seminar here where, and I understand what they're saying. I understand it. That if you are teaching people, which is true, people are going to be more receptive if what you are saying meets their present need. So if somebody has pain and you give the person a painkiller, he's going to buy it at any price there because they are in serious pain. However, if you told that person and taught them the lifestyle 5 years before that will eliminate that kind of pain and it will never come up, that there's a propensity in people not to pay too much attention to that, except they are wise. So what has happened is there's pressure from people for painkillers in ministry. So we are distributing painkillers. And because that has brought the crowd, now we don't know how to get out of it. To the point where we can tell people, look, folks, all these painkillers are meant for beginners. And it's just a painkiller. It doesn't solve the problem. It only deals with the manifestation of the problem. We have not cured the issue. The issue is there are seeds growing in, and it's going to take you 6 months to reverse your life, or 3 months to reverse everything, and you can reverse it completely. And if you are persistent in the practice of this, you'll change everything, your landscape, your life forever. So what Satan is doing is throwing things continuously at us, and we're trying to, because we're just trying to now relax and move back. And maybe COVID helped for that. I say, everybody calm down. You can't have the lifestyle. All right? You can't have the lifestyle. And look, don't you come and say, well, I'm saying God is all powerful. Yes, God is all powerful, but God has rules. He has his system. You must embrace that. You say, okay, if God was just about the show of power, when he wanted to save us, why go through all of this? Because he starts with a seed. Why did Jesus say, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground? Why didn't God just show up on one of the mountains, Everest, and put 1 foot and put it in that mountain and say, folks, I am your God, get saved, or you are God. Everybody would have come and bowed down their knees. Why is it? Because God is a God of process. But once we align ourselves, that's why he said, and he said, I'm trying to tell you how the kingdom is. Now, if you align yourself with this, after some time, your entire life will be living. And everywhere. This miraculous flow will be everywhere. But you have to step back from this next desperate thing that has come to your doorstep. As Jesus said, the nations of the earth, of this world, the Gentile nations are seeking after this. Get out of the rat race and get into kingdom. Pull back. Or one says, well, let's assume that there's a young lady, she's not sowing any seed for her future, nothing. All she's trying to do is, somebody broke my heart, I think you should come back. Or somebody says this, oh, this happened to me in my business, and this happened, or I lost my job, let my job come back. And or somebody says this happened, and we're praying those little things. Leave those things alone. Have the courage to say, anything that wants to work in my life now, you can work. I'm focusing on, all right, planting for my Isaacs. I'm not trying to struggle for my Ishmaels to stay. Do you understand what I said? Because there will be a shaking. And when we look at it, it says, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. We receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. In other words, we understand in God's sovereignty, anything that can shake, then it's not manifestation of the eternal. Let it go. Let it go. But we need people to step back. We need people to just step back and stop, all right, or the prayer for this next promotion, and just step back and plant seeds into that career. And look for the seeds in God's word and plant. And then after 6 months, strange things begin to happen. Things that you didn't even plan. You yourself can't even explain how it happened. All right, let's move on here. Excuse me. So let's look at Matthew chapter 13 and 31 to 34 again. And then in the light of that, examine Mark 4. I want to show something here. Let's show something here. Matthew chapter 13. Some of you are giving your time, give yourself time to even come up and breathe. You are down in the water trying to solve problems. Matthew 13 and 31. It says, another parable, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. And I like Jesus. He always made sure he explained things properly. If you know why, he didn't, every word he used, that he said the living immediately after he was trying to say something. Because when you sow it, it just seems so he sowed it. But when you actually sow it, you bury it. When you bury it, it's not visible. Nobody sees it. Which indeed, all right, is the least, and then it becomes. Then verse 33. Another parable, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven, which a woman took and did what? And hid. The woman did what? Hid it. Hid it. All right? Hid it. It says here, hid it in 3 measures of meal. Now, so let's go to Mark 4. And 21. We'll see something. Now, so Jesus comes and says, talking about this principle of the kingdom in the whole of Mark 4. That's what he's talking about. Then he talks about them that are sown on good ground, as hear the word, receive it, bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. Then he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? A bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. You know what he said? My friend, Jesus is not talking like a gossip, like people that gossip, that, oh, there is nothing you hide that one day will not come out. That's not what he's saying. I mean, how can Jesus be saying this in the midst of serious kingdom principles? What he's saying here is that the woman wanted the whole of the leaven, the whole of the meal to be leavened. So what did she do? She went and hid it in the meal. And then after some time, everything was leavened. So he's saying there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither is anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad, which means the way in which you want it to spread is by keeping it secret. The way you want it to be made manifest is by hiding it. So he's saying the kingdom of God is as if you will hide the seed inside that ground. It's hidden inside it. You want it to be made manifest? It says take it and hide it inside that thing. Are you following what I'm saying there? And you're going to get a manifestation. So you'll get the seeds of the kingdom for the field where you are. Everybody, let's say you're going to work every morning. Everybody thinks we're just about working here and getting this salary from people. But you've got the seed of the kingdom. The kingdom tells you, in that kingdom, you saw something that says the eyes of the servant look to the hands of their masters. The eyes of maidens look to the hands of their mistresses, which means they're working there. They're looking to the hand. They feel that they're there just to receive their salaries. He said, but our eyes are on thee, O Lord, until you have mercy upon us. In other words, we are in this place. And you are going to, and the Bible says, it's none of him that runneth or willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. As I work in this place, as you have stipulated, right, mercy is going to be revealed here. And something is going to happen here that people are going to say, this life is none of him that runneth. After what I've seen about that happened to this person, of him that willeth. And what happens is that person hid a promise, a word that they received from God, hid it into what they were doing. They were confessing that, we'll say this, declaring it. That was their expectation, hidden. Well, we're just looking at them. We didn't know that in the realm of the spirit, some other thing was going on. And then the mystery of the kingdom was in that particular field. It is not every believer that prays. Now you can be praying. We'll say this, you can pray as to harvest. If there's no seed, there's nothing. Think about this. Three times Jesus, they came to Jesus on the subject of faith. Three times. Mark 11, 22. How did this happen? Jesus said, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. What was the next thing he said? He turned to them in Mark 11, 23. He said, if you shall say to this mountain, in other words, faith. What was he going to say about faith? Say. Jesus did not say, have faith, pray. He said, faith, faith. Anybody with faith knows the power of speaking. Anybody in faith is not about the prayer, is their emphasis is on the words. You will never hear them say anything. It's about speaking. Then they came to meet him, increase our faith. In Luke chapter 17 and 6, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this sycamore tree. That's what he said. Then they came again to meet him. And then they said to him, why could we not cast out this devil? He said, because of your unbelief. Then he turned to them and said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall do what? Say. Speaking. And we'll get there. What he was saying. So he went on and said this. It says nothing. There is nothing hid that shall not be manifested. Neither was it kept secret, but that it should come abroad. In other words, I hid it for the purpose of manifestation. That's why I hid it. If any man has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. And then he went on and said, take heed what you hear. In other words, after you have planted it, be careful what you hear. All right? We'll see this. For the measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear, more will be given. We'll get to that scripture, what it means. Quickly now, I've got to move, still have some pages to go. So, Mark 4 and verse 26, we see it there. It says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, that man should sleep and he should rise, and that seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. Now look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look at this scripture. He knoweth, remember that, he knoweth not how. So that's where God starts coming in. God begins to come in. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. It says, he that observes the wind shall not sow. So if you are looking at what is going on around, you are never going to see what God wants if you observe that. Because it's the smallest of all the seeds. When God shows you, it's the most insignificant thing. It says he that observes the environment will not sow. he that regards the cloud, all right, which means when it's time for those words, the time of harvest has come, certain things will happen. And you will look at it and say, oh, after all that I have said and declared, look at what happened. Because you are regarding the clouds, you don't read. You don't understand that this, which means you have to be schooled. Which means when those words mature and something is about to happen, there's pressure that comes. That's why Jesus said, when men cast your name as evil, rejoice in that day. It means that, so you understand. All right, shall not reap. Now, here's where I'm even going. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, or how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God that maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed. Do you see what he said? And in the evening withhold not your hand. He is saying, listen, you don't know the way. You want to see the works of God, you cannot explain. You want to see the way of the Spirit. You want to see what he said in Matthew 6 about the kingdom. Matthew 6, all right? He says you want to know how bones to grow. You want to know how you are growing. When he says, listen, consider the lily how they grow. A seed was there. He says, take no thought. It tells you, he said, by taking thought, could you add one cubit? So it tells you that, listen, you want to secure your future that way. You want to come to a place where things will be happening in your life effortlessly. You want to come to that place where events will just be unfolding. You want to come and see that two people are putting in the same thing. Their outcomes are completely. It says, one person has understood the principle of sowing the word of God and giving that word time to mature. Look at Matthew chapter 6 here. And verse 26. And that's why after I do this session, I do next week or during the week. It could be any day. I do that session. We're going to go just so that it's actionable here. We're going to go into a 60-day period of continuous sowing of powerful, incorruptible seeds, morning and evening, that at least will secure certain things in your future, because there are fields you have. So plant those seeds into it. Matthew 6:26 here, it tells us, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, they don't reap, they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? They that just fly, your Father feeds them. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? He says, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So we are to hide in the field of whatever we want to do, God's seed. And God's seed will determine the outcomes. And please, let me tell you this. When we are saying hide the seed, let me tell you this. Nothing generic is going to produce results. You can't just say, I'm blessed. We'll get there. You say to this mountain, when we get to faith, plant a seed, you say you are specific. To start praying for things when the seeds for those things have not been sown, or contrary, seeds have been sown into that field, is what defeats prayer. Let me repeat this, and I will put this by anybody anywhere in this world, that to start praying for things when the seeds for it have not been sown, or contrary, seeds have been sown into that field, with what defeats prayer every time. Prayer doesn't just solve things like that. Let me give two examples. There was a man who had become All right. I mean, I've told this story. Some of them is a good story. So we can always say, can you take and spoke up? He went to pray. And I'll show this from scripture. He went to pray for somebody. And listen, you don't just say that, you know, because we prayed. It will just work. Look, when Paul, I'll get to those stories in Acts 27, when they entered into a shipwreck, Paul already had perceived by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost told him that this thing will be to danger. Stop these people from going into these things. And this is because of things that were inside the heart, growing in the heart of Paul. Paul had, all right, so he perceived. Now, they didn't listen. So they went in and they got into the shipwreck. After long abstinence, Paul came out. Paul said, they stood by me this night, an angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve. And he told me, said, sirs, you should have taken unto me. He said, but be of good cheer. There stood an angel by me, whom I am, whom I serve. He said, listen. And he told me that not one life on this ship will be lost, but the ship will be lost. This man had a manifestation, even if we want to stretch it, of Jesus Christ. And God showed up on the scene in answer to prayer and fasting and said, well, the only thing we can save are people's lives. We cannot save the ship. There is going to be a shipwreck. All your property is going to be gone. Everything is going to be gone. We will just be able to get the people out. Why didn't God just use all of his power? So what I'm trying to do is that for you to pull yourself and understand this, how this thing works. Now I'm going to get myself here. Now within 3-6 months, I'm going to start getting perfect manifestations to answer prayer. And you say, God, preserve me as I'm strong this here. Now, so Kenneth Hagin went to pray for a man, a young man. And he was in Oral Roberts University, and when he got there, he Faith Clinic, and when he got there and started praying in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, all right, for this gentleman, he said he had words in his Spirit. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. This man's spirit is better off with him in heaven. Leave him and let him go. He said he just felt it was his mind. He kept praying in spirit. Then he heard again, words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion, which at this time could not be reversed. This man's spirit is better off with me in heaven. Release him and let him go. He said, then he knew the power of prayer that he was holding this man's spirit in the body, but couldn't reverse the condition. And he understood that words had been spoken by this man, who had set spiritual laws into motion, which God said, I cannot reverse here. And I will show you it's biblical. Because when Moses went to God in prayer, God said, I have pardoned according to my word. But tell them, my hands are tied. He said, whatsoever I hear them say, that is what I can do. If they have not said it, I can't do it. Even if God comes to tell somebody, next week you will die, you can come and reverse that and go to God in prayer and reverse. But if you have been saying next week you are going to die, you can't call on God. You have to reverse it with your own words first. That's what we're saying. Then God can come in because you are reversing it. God can reverse it for you. You can reverse it. So Hagin left the man, he went home sometime after he died. They go to the funeral service as they were leaving. His younger brother said, do you know my brother had always been saying, on or before he is 40, he believes he will die. For whatever reason, he started planting that. He said he will be 40 next week. Then Hagin understood. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. Listen, it's a two-edged sword. Let me tell you this, it gives you the opportunity now to go into the word of God, get as much seeds as you are, and infest your life with intentional, powerful seeds. I told you I had a friend once when I was in school. He used to be vice president of a fellowship. He showed me a scripture, very powerful scripture, where he got the seed. Where they went in Ziklag, and that's how he got his prosperity. They went there in Ziklag, and they're taking all the wives and children. It wasn't even what you call a prosperity girl, taking all the wives and children of David and his people. And you know, David went to God and said, well, to recover. So they went out, but some folks said they are not going, they will stay with the spoil. By the time they came back, the other soldiers came and they were angry. They said, these people stay with the spoil. They did not fight. We went to fight. We should just give them the wives and children. We shouldn't divide anything. David said, this is a law from now on, and it shall remain so in Israel. He that tarries with the spoil and who that goes to battle shall receive the same reward. He said, then God showed me. There is a law in the realm of the spirit that has been enacted that those who stay with the spoil and help, it says, nobody goes to war at his own expense. All right, nobody goes out. He said, I got it. If I will hold the spoil while ministers go out and I will dedicate myself to funding ministries on this earth, I will be a multimillionaire before the age of 30. He told me ministries he was going to fund. He told me ministries, he got himself plugged into that. Before, at the age of 28, I know that this person working as an international consultant, all right, had $200,000 to give out. But he was saying it in UNILAC, in Marie Hall. Now, you now don't say anything. In fact, what you are saying is that we don't know what's happening. This NYC we are going to do, we might just be jumping. That's what you are saying. Then it's now time for manifestation. You are crying. You are crying. Oh, manifestation. Oh boy, let me tell you. Except somebody somewhere has sown seeds of intercessory prayer, like Novel Case had said, or maybe your parents or people maybe around you, spiritual or people had planted, and they look, my friend, you will be there going around inside. No, sorry, cross. Until you understand, and once you get the kingdom principle there and you start operating up, you will blow anything off. That's what we'll get to it. That's what Jesus said. He said, this mountain, if your faith has a grain of mustard seed, this mountain will be gone. It's only a matter of time. Gone. This mountain will, he said, you will come back one day, you will see this mountain again. I mean, this same stamping will happen. Jesus did not say that. He did not say that. Because when he caused the fig tree, they came back. The fig tree did not die the next. Immediately he said it. But the leaven was inside. Matthew chapter 12. By the time they came back 24 hours, and Jesus had cultivated and built this. Built and cultivated this. Dr. Yonggi Cho, in his book, he said there was a man who had been hit by an accident. He was in a coma. They called him to come and pray. The second story. He said he got there. While he was praying, he said he knew. He said, God, I ask for your mercy intervention. Now, it's possible. Paul himself said, he said, God had mercy because I will have sorrow upon sorrow. God went to heal. So it's possible. People can sow seeds and use those seeds. All right? The Roman centurion could get his servant healed with his faith. The friends of somebody could pray and get their friend. It wasn't the friend. The friend was on. It wasn't the person. It was the friends that opened up the roof and dropped him. So your friends, your circle can develop faith. I mean, the self-initial widow got it for her daughter. Now, so Yonggi Cho said, give God grant me mercy. I need this man to be conscious, even if it's for 5 minutes. The man came back to consciousness and said, please just do this. See yourself back on the streets. See yourself walking at home with your children, playing in the garden. This man, they gave him a few hours. What happened was they had been hit by a taxi, and back then, you know, it is better you take somebody dead than, all right, say you hit the person and died. It was easier under the law of Korea than for the person to be injured. So the man drove around until he felt was lifeless, then took him to the hospital. Listen, Yonggi Cho said he was there. God just let him come back. The man came back. He said, see that. Now start saying, as the man, he had about 10 minutes to change. He said, now we can do something. Look at Matthew chapter 12 here. Now, listen to what Jesus said. We are correct here. Now, because of time, I will just skip. That's what I said. But at some point, just saying something, people don't, if it doesn't enter in. Now, look at this. Now, they had accused Jesus. Look at this in Matthew 12, in verse 26. that it was by Beelzebub he was doing those things, because they were like parables. They, you know, people are more prone to say that it's demons doing it than God's power. Then he said it's God's work. Then Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, his kingdom is divided against itself. And if I Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom are your children cast them out? Therefore you shall be your judges. Then he went on. Verse 33, hear what Jesus said. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by the fruit. Do you see what he said? Hear what he said. He said, you want any fruit, there has to be the tree. A seed must have been sown that must have grown and become a tree. He said, what you are seeing in my ministry are trees that are growing. People are benefiting from trees that I planted from the age of 12. I started planting this thing in 12, 13. By the time I came into public ministry, I was working in the Garden of Eden. Either make the tree good or the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt. All right? And the fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you be in evil? Which means the tree is evil. Speak forth good things. So some people are trying to say some things to happen immediately, but that's not what they have been saying in their closet. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, one of that treasure says, evil treasure stored bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's the day of prayer. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Which means, my friend, if your words, you have been saying something in the closet, that is the tree that is growing, you can only reap what you have sown. You can only come in prayer to partake of fruit that you have sown. Sometimes, let me even tell you, you don't have time to exercise faith. You get what I'm saying? You don't have time to exercise faith. It's what is in operation in your life that carries you. One time, Dr. Crevedola said he was driving, he went to preach somewhere, and somebody jumped the light, and they were in a tent. They said there were pastors there. It was a ministry that called him to come and preach, and the pastoral team came to receive him at the airport. Pastors, four people died. A ghastly accident. He said because he didn't even see the car when it hits them. He said they just saw a white being, and next thing he was outside standing by the road, and there was blood. He said he looked and he was wondering, what's going on here? He called his wife. His wife said, for the last 15 years we have been staying, in my path is life and there is no death. That is what you just saw. It's too late to speak. Do you know where the car is coming from? Most of the time people say Jesus is a sound of fear, not from the abundance of faith. You know, you can say Jesus and people say, what's the problem? Which means it's not, you know that fear is what is in. So let me move fast here. You get the fruit from trees and not from seeds. Words have to be spoken over a period of time, allowed to mature until they start producing. A tree is when the confession is in abundant measure, which means, when do I know that it's a tree? Jesus said it. Every tree, make the tree good, and his fruit shall be good. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I will explain what you mean by abundance. So when you have tree, which means that is in abundance. All right? Many do not realize the place our confession holds in our faith life. God cannot, in answer to prayer, contradict what you have continuously sown and watered. Proverbs 8, verse 18, verse 20 and 21. Now look at it. Tree, fruit, words, seeds. Words are seeds. Fruits, manifestation. Proverbs chapter 18. Please see this here. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. Look at what now we know, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but they that love it shall eat of its fruit thereof. So fruit is means that there's a tree. So please, I want to explain this. Death and life, you have to get this. And the power of the tongue, they that love it shall eat of its fruit thereof. Now we have said that when something is in your heart in abundant measure, that is when there's the tree, it has gone, become a tree, and that's when you can eat of its fruit. So follow me in the scripture here. All right. Proverbs now 18, verse 20. A man's belly, that's heart, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, how does your heart get filled? With the increase of your lips shall your heart be filled. That's the same thing Jesus was saying. Take heed what you hear. The measure of thought and study you give is the measure that will be, all right, is this measure of power and virtue that will come back to you. He says, with the increase of the lips shall the heart be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, the word love means use. They that are using it are eating of its fruit, which means they that are using the tongue have caused trees to be green and they are eating of the fruit. In other words, they understand the power of the words, and by the increase of the lips, their heart is filled. So they know, this thing God has given to me, I keep saying it, and as I increase my lips, increase what I'm saying, and keep saying these things, my heart, it gets into my heart in abundant measure. When it gets into my heart in abundant measure, then things begin to happen. All right. So let me just give an example. Now, if I have been saying, now I haven't been saying this, it's an example. I've been saying, oh my God, I will never make it in life. I'll never make it in life. I'm going to fail. All right. Now, let's assume my wife has been saying for 15 years, personally, my husband, she went, let's just assume that she went into Proverbs 31 and she was saying that he shall sit in the elders in the gates in the city. My husband would, and she's been saying it. Okay? But me, I've been talking nonsense. Now, I get into trouble. If I call, God will look. Oh boy, there's no tree. If she calls, because her confession has included her husband, the thing can come. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why sometimes your family member may be able to pray you out. Your this may be able to pray out. There's somebody else, but you get what I'm saying. But even with that, it will be an El Tipo salvation. You know what? You'll be just limp out of it. In other words, we can save you, but not everything. So the day of judgment is the day of prayer. Your words will determine the outcome. God cannot reverse the effect of what you have been saying. Only you can do that. I'm going to bring this to a close. All right. About 10 more minutes. Numbers. I'm going to continue this so we get it, because I don't want to leave it here. There's much more to be said. Much more about this. Numbers 14 here. Now, they had said all kinds of nonsense. We all know this story about how they would die in the wilderness. We're going to die. I want you to hear what God said. So Moses started interceding for them. In verse 19, it says, pardon, I beseech thee. What did God say? God said, surely, he said, the Lord said in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. That this is not me. But as truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with my glory. He now went on and said again, verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord. Numbers 14 and verse 28, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness according to the whole number who murmured against me. Then hear what he said in verse 30. Doubtless you shall not come into the land. Doubtless means with all certainty and without a shadow of doubt, you will not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell in. Wait a minute. God swore that he will make them. Oh, God. Listen what he said. He swore by himself, I will make you dwell there. He said, doubtless, what I swore that I will make you do, it is not going to happen. Reason, as you have spoken in my ears, that's how it will happen. You know what happened then? These Jews now realized that God was not happy. The Bible says, verse 40, when they heard all the stuff, then they got up. And they rose up early in the morning and got them into the top of the mountain, saying, Lord, we'll be here. We go up unto the place where the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore do you transgress the commandment of God? You will not prosper. Go not up, the Lord is not among you. They said, we're going. When they saw us angry, you know, people say, let me just take a corresponding action. Let me just behave like a soul. Let me just verse 44. But they presumed to go up to this faith presumption. In other words, people start acting things that and they presume to go up. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. God did not. And the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites with dwellers and smote them. So they decided, let's go up, let's go up. It wasn't about going up. It was about what is in your heart in abundance. And it had come out of their lips. He said, all these days that you are going through the wilderness was to build things. He said, was to make you understand, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth, that feed with the increase of the lips shall the heart be filled. A man's belly will be satisfied, which means your spiritual, for want of word, stomach, fill it with the nourishment of God's word, so that you are full of that. So I'll close by saying this. Wow, still a lot. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5-6, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about, I'll take off from here next week. He wasn't talking about the size of your faith. Now, once you think it is that, and a lot of people in faith movement have made it, people think that. So people are trying to get faith. And because of that, they are losing faith. Now, you say, what are you saying? Jesus, he wasn't referring to the size, the amount of faith. Why do we know this? Earlier on in different places, he had said, O ye of little faith. Now, we also come and say, the mustard seed is the tiniest of all seeds. In fact, if you give it the mustard seed, it's so tiny you can't see it. So what can be tinier than the mustard seed? Nothing can be tinier. And then God, Jesus said, if you have faith, the grain of mustard seed, which is so tiny, then that's little faith. That's little faith. So why is he saying at the same time, you have little faith? When he said all you need is faith as a grain of mustard seed. It was emphasizing that you have to treat your faith as a seed, or else it's not going to work. Once you start treating that as a seed, you demystified faith. Nothing will be impossible unto you. But you think that, you know, it's the amount of faith that I need. I don't have that. And you're trying to get faith. So, Apostle, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Go and look at it. The word cometh is in italics. Even in the original manuscript, that word means faith. With real leaders, is awakened by hearing. In other words, if I preach something to you, the faith that is in you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 3, God has dealt to let no man think among you more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to every single one of you the measure of faith. You are called a believer. The measure. So you have the measure of faith he's talking about. Hebrews did not tell you that you didn't have faith. He said the problem is you are not mixing that faith with the word of God you have heard. That's what he said. He said the word preached did not profit them. Why? They heard it, not being mixed with faith. If I have water here, I have oil here, I say you didn't mix both. In other words, you didn't release the word you heard, you didn't plant it. You didn't take it, your faith as a grain of mustard seed, you heard the word, your faith was awakened, plant that thing. That's what he said. You did not in any specific way. That's why you mustn't leave. We're not finishing this seminar to go with notes. We are finishing this webinar for us to go out and plant seeds, and we will organize the planting of the seed. We will organize it at least minimum 30-fold. Because you can preach, and that's why Paul preached when he perceived the had faith. In other words, faith was awakened. He said, get up. Now, the reason is this. To him that has, look, if we go back to Mark, that's what he was saying. Mark, it's all in Mark 4. It's all in Mark 4. Look at what he says in Mark 4. And it's a principle. Mark 4 and verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And him that hath not, even that which he has shall be taken. The worst thing you can do to somebody is to tell that person he doesn't have. Because you have dispossessed that person. You have dispossessed that person. You have it. Mixed it. Anytime you hear a word that quickens that faith, all right, mix it. In other words, speak something. Say it out. Plant something specific. Plant something specific. Plant it into your career. If you're a young lawyer, put it into the field that you look. If you can find the seeds that you will have a global law firm all over this entire world doing cases in your plant it. Because that is in your own field. While you go to work, that seed then will begin as it grows and things start happening. It will get you introduced to people that you didn't even know that was what was happening, and somebody's cousin that you met somewhere, you organized it. We want a case somewhere in America, they needed something, and they flew you down to America, and you'd have that person from something minor that was just in that same field where you are. And then it got you to somebody there in America. And because that thing is in your field, you will meet the person you are supposed to marry in that field because the seed is in that field. The seed to get married is in that field. And then you get there and you meet this person and he says, oh, there's a whole community of people here. And all right, they can start out and say, well, these are people that are Nigerians next, they say they're Africans next, they say they're immigrants. And then before you know what's happening, you've opened an office over there. Then they tell you we have cousins, all right, in Mexico, Europe, and then before you know what's happening, you're global. It started by a friend you met at a grocery magistrate court that looked like nothing, but because there was a seed. Now, I'll just close with this. I just want to show you this. I'm just going to close with this. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. So as Jesus, why come we couldn't cast him out, the demon, the epileptic guy? Nah, Jesus wanted to tell him. He said, because of your unbelief. I want to show you something. Now, these guys had done things, but the epileptic guy, they couldn't because of their unbelief. All right? The word unbelief there also means because of your little faith. If you look at it, sometimes you'll say unbelief, sometimes you'll say little faith. For verily I say unto you, so it's almost like saying because of little faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, so it's the seed. That's why I said the kingdom of God is as a grain of mustard seed, which is the least of all the seeds, no problem. But when it is sown, That's why I started with that scripture. When it is sown, yes, it can be the smallest, but when it is sown, it becometh. Power is only released after it is planted. So, verse 17, for our faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. So he's telling us how to plant our faith. That is, say to something specific. Plant that faith to get something done. We've said it by words. You plant your faith by saying, which means once there's faith, you get up and say, in 5 years' time, I'm going to you plant. Like my friend that said, I'll be a multi-millionaire before 30. He was planting his faith into the earth. The earth has no choice. Must get him a job somewhere and make sure he meets somebody. If anybody here is anywhere in Japan, and that is what will make it work, you'll bring him from Japan to that place. Now, I'll show you the place of prayer next week. But you have to get this right, because if you miss it in words, prayer is just acting. All right? He says, shall say to this mountain, remove, hence to the other place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto thee. Now, let me tell you what this thing means, and I close to this. He is not referring to smallness of faith, but the Greek word means incredulous. In other words, when you are exercising, because they said it, when you are exercising your faith, it seemed impossible to you. It was incredulous, which means